Welcome to Torah Simecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek Mem He, Yeshayahu chapter 45. We mentioned at the end of the last chapter that this chapter would foretell the rise of the Persian king Cyrus. Ko amar Hashem the Meshicho leKoresh. Thus said Hashem to Cyrus, his anointed one. Asher hechezakti v'yemino lerad lefanav goyim umosne malachim afateach, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him. I will loosen the loins of kings. Niftoach lefanav delasayim usha'arim lo yisagaru, to open doors before him and letting no gate stay shut. We are used to anointing as referring to a king or kohen that is anointed to a position of spiritual authority. Here, it is the appointment to a position of authority, in this case, in order to conquer Babylonia, which will lead to permission for the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, the second temple. Ani lefanecha eleich bahadurim ayashar delasos nechusha ashaber uvriche varzel agada'a. I will march before you and straighten winding roads. I will shatter doors of bronze and cut down iron bars. Hashem promises to make it easy for Koresh to conquer the Babylonians by neutralizing all of the physical protections that they have made for themselves. V'nasate lecha otzros choshech umasmune mistarim. I will give you treasures concealed in the dark and the secret hoards that they have hidden. Anteda ki ani Hashem hakorev yishimcha Elokei Yisrael, so that you may know that it is I, Hashem, the God of Israel, who has proclaimed your name. Radak points out that here the future is foretold not only in what will happen in the saving of the Jewish people, as is usual, but that Koresh, Cyrus, in contrast to Nebuchadnezzar and Sancheiriv, the two world leaders that came before him, recognized that his dominion came from God. And why will Hashem give him such power? Leman avdi Yaakov Yisrael b'chiri, like always, for the sake of my servant Jacob, Israel, my chosen one. Va'ekra lecha b'shmecha achancha v'lo yedatani. I call you by name, I give you a title, although you do not know me. Although Koresh was better than his predecessors in that he did recognize the role of God in his victories, Hashem points out there that he gives him that power for the sake of the Jewish people. And the second half of the verse explains how we know that. This is clear because he chose Koresh way before his birth, before he could earn such rewards through his own merit. Ani Hashem ve'ein od, zulasi ein Elokim. I am Hashem, there is no one else. Besides me, there is no God. A'azercha v'lo yedatani. I will strengthen you, although you have not known me. The sequence of events is coming from me, and not because of you in any way. Yeshayahu here predicts the ascension of Koresh to be the leader of the most powerful nation on earth that will vanquish the Babylonians, who were the most powerful before him. He says that Koresh is deserving in some way of this ascension, of this power, but he points out that he was chosen way before his birth, that his power is there only in order to facilitate the redemption of the Jewish people, that even though he was more righteous than his predecessors, his success is because he is needed for the redemption of the Jewish people, and for no other reason. The Navi then goes on to assert Hashem's power in a very specific way. Verse 7, Yotzer or uvori choshech, oseh shalom uvori ra, ani Hashem oseh chol ele. I form light and create darkness, I make peace and create evil. I am Hashem who does all these things. Until now, the prophet has been speaking about greatness and conquest, and the stress in this verse seems to be that I am Hashem who creates everything. Not all of the land and power and means of war, like one might expect, but good and evil, light and dark. What does this have to do with the victory of Koresh over the Babylonians? Yeshayahu, a century and a half before his ascension, is predicting the rise of the Persian Empire, the earliest known practitioners of Zoroastrianism. This is the belief that there are two opposing forces in the world, that of good and all that comes with it, such as light, wisdom, happiness, etc., and that there is an opposing force of darkness or evil, and all that comes with that, such as ignorance, suffering, and death. The Persians believed that the course of history and everyday life was a struggle between these two forces, and that ultimately good would eventually vanquish evil. While telling of the success of this empire, the Navi proclaims that their success comes from God, the source of all, not their perception of good. The real God is the source of all, darkness, light, good, perceived evil, suffering, and success. It is our perception that sees evil when everything in life and over the course of history is only from the one source of anything. There do not exist two opposing forces. And what will the source of all bring? Verse 8, Harifu shamayim mima'al, pour down skies from above, ushechakim yuzlu tzedek, let the heavens rain down victory. Tiftach eretz v'yifru yesha utztakat tzmiach yachad. Let the earth open up and triumph will sprout. Let vindication spring up. Ani Hashem barasiv. I, Hashem, have created it. After the Babylonian exile, the Jews will know plenty and goodness, as if the earth and sky opened up to bestow their goodness upon them. And in verse 9, Hoy rav es yitzro. Woe unto him who argues with his maker. The simplest explanation of this verse is referring to Belshazzar, the last ruler of the vast empire of Babylonia. We know from the book of Daniel, chapter 5, argued that the Jewish people would never return back to their land, and displayed this certainty by using the vessels of the temple. Cheres es charse adama. He thought he had vanquished the great kingdom of Israel, but he was nothing but a shard of earth. Hayomar chomer leyotzro ma ta'aseh. Shall matter say to its former, what are you doing? Ufa'alcha ein yadayim, your work has no handles? Does a creation say to its own creator that he knows better? Belshazzar was sure that Israel will never be built again, because he himself could not understand the purpose of their exile and destruction if they were to be rebuilt. His use of the vessels of the temple was his logical display that if there was a God of Israel that planned to bring them back, he would not be able to do what he was doing. But he was but a creation, a shard of earth, like all other creations. And so we know that on that very day, when he displayed his power to all, his kingdom was taken from him, and he was killed. Ko amar Hashem, kadosh Yisrael v'yotzro. Thus says Hashem, Israel's Holy One and Maker. Ha'osios sha'aluni al banai, va'al po'al yadai titzavuni. Question me about the destiny of my children. Ask me about the work of my hands. Instead of unsuccessfully challenging me about what I could or could not do, look at what I have done and what I promised to do and try to understand the meaning of it. Anochi asisi eretz va'adam aleha varasi. It was I who made the earth and created man upon it. Ani yadai natu shamayim v'chotz va'am tzivisi. My own hand stretched out the heavens and I command all its parts. I created all the earth with man as its ultimate purpose. I have a plan and I control all that occurs so that my plan will come to fruition. It was I who roused Cyrus for victory and who leveled all roads for him. He shall rebuild my city and let my exiled people go. Without price and without payment, says Hashem. This is all part of my plan and will fit into what I want to accomplish. It will happen because I said so, and they will have to do nothing physical to cause their return, neither fight nor bribe or coerce. After predicting the return of the Jewish people after the Babylonian exile, Yeshayahu goes back in time to the victory over Sanherib, the ruler of Assyria. During the first temple period, during the rule of Chizkiyahu, the king of Judah, Sanherib destroyed the 10 tribes of Israel, the other Jewish kingdom to the north of Judah. He then turned his attention to Jerusalem, the capital of Judah, of Yehuda. But as we see in verse 14, he was distracted by Cush, Mitzrayim, and Seva, who he heard were ready to rise against him. He easily destroyed them, and then when he returned to Jerusalem, his army was carrying the spoils and prisoners of war from those three kingdoms. And so we see in verse 14 that the spoils of war and the prisoners all came to be part of Bnei Yisrael because the army of Assyria was carrying them when they came to attack Judah. The army of Assyria all died miraculously, simultaneously in the middle of the night, while besieging the city of Jerusalem. And the people of Jerusalem, the Jews, came out to see them all dead and collected all of their spoils. In addition, they collected the prisoners of war themselves. At the end of verse 14, proclaim, Ach bach kel, ve'ein od efes Elohim. The real God is to be found only amongst you, and there is no other God at all. And these prisoners will say to Hashem himself, Achein ata kel mistater, Elokei Yisrael Moshiach. You are indeed a God who concealed himself, but you are the God of Israel who brings victory. They will proclaim something that is the basic theme of this chapter, that although sometimes we cannot see God and the Jewish people are punished, he always is there, is always in the process of bringing his end goal. He is the one who brings victory. And therefore, all those who believed in other gods or other forces of the world will eventually be shamed. But as we see in verse 17, Yisrael nosha b'Hashem teshuas olamim, but Israel will have eternal victory through Hashem. Sevoshu v'lo tikalmu ad olme ad. You will never be shamed or disgraced. These verses, 15 through 17, are an extraordinary comfort in the section of a book that tells alternately about punishment and exile and comfort and redemption. For a nation that claims to be chosen, to be the recipients of terrible and repeated destructions and persecutions, has a tremendous element of embarrassment. These verses tell us that although we do suffer, it is all part of God's plan, not because he forgot about us, and that ultimately it will be a source of pride for us and embarrassment for others as his plan is revealed and we are the ones who achieve eternal victory. The chapter ends with a summary of all of history and Hashem's purpose in this world, that it is he who is the creator, and lo lesohu v'ra'ah, he did not create it for waste. Hashem did not create this world for nothingness, but he created it for a purpose, and he foretold that purpose to the world. And when he did so, lo vaseser dibarti, I did not speak in secrecy, kom eretz choshech, some place in a land of darkness. It came time for Hashem to proclaim his purpose of creation to the world. He did not do so in secrecy. What distinguishes Judaism from all other religions is that the revelation at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, was one of public nature. It was a revelation to multitudes. And not only that, but according to the sages, the entire world heard the revelation at Sinai. And so the Navi continues that ultimately they will regret their loyalty to their idols, because they will, of course, be proven wrong in the end, and the Jewish people will be vindicated. But not because of us ourselves. Of course, our victory is only, as it says in the last verse of the chapter, verse 25, Bahashem yitzdeku, v'yishalalu kol zera Yisrael. It is through Hashem that we will have vindication, and that all the offspring of Israel will have glory. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.